RAW.
Well, we got to shut her down. Huey Lewis in the news. I'm sorry. Well, I'm Patrick Gonzalez with my co-host, Henry Nicole, and you are listening to KRAWLP 97.9 on your FM dial. And this is our show, which is a little more political than my personal show on Sunday, We the People. And tonight is going to be pretty special in the sense that we have, we're going to have two candidates talking with us tonight that are running for at-large position for the Rollins City Council. And the first candidate that we have this evening is
Shallan Crenshaw.
Shallan.
So I like to tell people you can pronounce it like Alan, but with a sh. So Shallan.
Shallan. Shallan Crenshaw. And she is running for one of the at-large position for Rollins City Council. So Shallan, I'm going to kind of turn it over to you if you want to give us a little bit of a, you know, a little synopsis of who you are and some of that, so people will get to know you a little bit better, and then we'll go from there. So we only got a half an hour, so we're going to have to talk fast.
Okay.
So Shallan Crenshaw, take it away.
Yes. I guess, so it's kind of a broad question about who I am, but me, so I like to think that I'm very focus driven. Currently I'm a peer recovery specialist at WSP. I work for a nonprofit organization called Gateway, and I am working in a high custody intensive treatment unit, and that's for a lot of the inmates that are at WSB that have alcohol and substance use disorders. And before they can be released into the community, they come to our program and we kind of learn, we teach them about DBT, which is dialectical behavioral therapy, CBI, which is cognitive behavioral intervention, right living skills. We have a counselor in there. I'm a peer specialist, so I kind of guide them through the path. Guide them through making their own decisions, their right decisions. I don't tell them the path. I guide them to their own conclusions, and just really provide support. And it's about having relative lived experience, like mental health challenges or substance use challenges. We also have a counselor in there, and she's great. So she helps them get to the root of like where their substance use or mental health issues come from. And then the program takes 6 months to a year, and then they graduate, and hopefully they're much better citizens and can live productive lives.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's good to know. And I know a little bit about what you do. I was the CEO of Carbon County Counseling for 10 and a half years. Oh. And then I was the CFO for High Country Behavioral Health.
I love that.
When we merged. So
that's awesome.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. I know exactly what you do. And that's great. Well, we want to welcome you here and thank you for accepting our invitation to come on and talk a little bit.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Well, anyway, Shallan is running, as I said, she's running for one of the, or for the at-large position for Rollins City Council. And I'm going to ask you, so I'm going to jump right into this and then we can go from there. So why do you want to be on the Rollins City Council?
So I'm not a long-term resident here, so I haven't lived here my entire life.
Oh, no, that disqualifies.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't born and raised here, but the difference is that I choose to live here. I choose this to be my home. I do have ties here. I'm building a career here. I have loved ones here, and I really love the people here. And I remember the first time I actually came through Rollins, and not our corridor to the interstate, but drove through Rollins, I actually got lost, which is, you'd think would be hard to do, but it wasn't.
I get lost every day.
But I do remember, I noticed, the first thing I noticed was the landscapes, the rocks, right? Mm-hmm. And just how we were kind of like in this little valley and how beautiful it was. And then I was like, wow, this is really pretty. And then I drove downtown and I was like, oh, but it kind of looks like it's turning into a ghost town too, you know? And I keep telling myself that. And I have taken the position in my life from, as I mentioned, I do have lived experience with like mental health, and there was some, back in my 20s, I didn't make the best of decisions. And There was a point in my life where I kind of turned things around and said, you're not a victim and you have to get up and you have to do things on your own. And so I've carried that with me for years and years to come. I became a police officer in Riverton, Wyoming, decided that that wasn't exactly what I was meant to do. I loved the work, loved helping people. And I found this job. And I do believe I'm in my purpose now. But I also see things that could be better about Rollins in the home that I am, that I choose to live in. And so I, with that same mentality, what am I going to do to get up and change things, you know, instead of just saying, oh, they really need to do this. They need to do this. So I'm taking more of that stance that I have been for years.
So in your, I don't know how long you've been here, but in the short time or the time that you have been here, and I'm sure you've obviously, have been paying attention to what's happening in our community. And I'm sure you're aware of the issues and the concerns if you're on social media, which you are. So I'm sure you've seen and read a lot of the comments.
Yeah.
So knowing what you know about the circumstances and some of the issues that we are facing as a community, if you're elected to the position, what would you do differently, or what would you do to help move everything forward and help the community progress as it should be?
Yeah, so that's a great question. What I would do, I've been researching, I'm doing a lot of research actually. I've been going to the public, because I think Senator Harold Hughes said it the best, you cannot have great policy without great advocacy. And so my stance, what I'm doing, I'm listening to the public, because we are, if I do get elected, I'm a public servant. And that's what I have the most experience in, is serving the public. And so I think that all of those voices are really truly what matters. And so I'm listening to their problems, doing the research based off of that, based off of the concerns that are being brought up and the concerns that I'm noticing as well. And I've noticed a lot of things. I know that we have one of the biggest corridors in Rollins in the United States for our traffic. We do. And I don't think that we're capitalizing on that enough. I think that there's a lot of property that could be prepackaged, and we could aggressively seek after businesses that are looking to break into rural communities to try to provide growth. I do think that, and no shame whatsoever on the current city council. I think it's a big job to get up and want to be a part of something that is bigger than yourself. So I do want to commend anybody that's running or anybody that is currently in the office for that. But I do think that there could be more transparency. I do think that there could be a little more plain talk to help the community understand what's really going on. I know there's budgets, and you can go onto Boardox and look into everything, but it has taken me quite a while to research some things. And even for me, I wish it would be a little bit easier to find some answers. So I think that would be some of my main priorities coming in, is how can we keep Rollins growing for generations, even if it's in smaller steps, while also being very transparent, listening to concerns more, and getting the word out to the people of Rollins, because that's what our whole back is on, is the people of Rollins.
So. Yeah, and I'll let you answer it just a second, Henry, but told you on social media that I really admired your positivity, because you were discussing some of these very things, and I was kind of playing devil's advocate and throwing you all these fastballs of things, and you didn't know at that time that I have worked for the city, so I understand. Okay. And know that the inner workings, and some of the things that you have said, they really make a lot of sense. And I guess what I'll ask is, if you do get elected and you do get in, how will you implement some of these thoughts and ideas? I mean, usually we don't really see, we don't see the short-term, mid-term, and long-term objectives or goals from the city. So how would you, if you're elected, how would you go about implementing some of these ideas and thoughts that you have shared on social media.
Well, and of course, I know how the structure of the city kind of works with the at-large position. I know that you have to get a majority vote on things. What I would do, I would bring the facts, right? I would gather everything that I could, like traffic reports. So like prepackaging land, going aggressively after outside businesses or wanting local businesses to expand. For incentives, I would gather traffic reports, show them, bring them to these businesses, try to get the lands prepackaged. Of course, it would take votes. It would take work with as a team. I do have full faith in Rollins that they will put together a good team, whether I'm a part of that or not. I think that the people of Rollins are very smart and they are very dedicated and hardworking. But I really think it's about being, and I like to say it's more about being a custodian rather than a rock star, if that makes sense.
I'm a rock star.
I feel like the rock star position takes more of like the, I'm going to do this. This is all me. I want all of the glory, but custodial position, which is where I want to come from, is working together collaboratively, bringing the facts, displaying them in an easy manner to where people can really understand what I'm saying or what the research is and be like, oh, that logically makes sense. Like this is something we need to go after. This is something we need to pursue and bring it to the team or have the team help me with the research, bring an idea, and listen to all of the ideas that are coming in. As crazy as they may be, if there are crazy ones, it may spark one that's perfect. So, and I think that just kind of comes from a village. So just having support from the people of Rollins, and if I do get elected, the team that I'm on, so that we can have those votes and have those discussions and clear communication.
Awesome. Henry.
Patrick is more solid. I'm one of those tinfoil hat people. But the questions I have aren't the ones that one normally expects, so I'm going to just jump in there.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a team concept in terms of building the community, but who is a team? We've got Common County Economic Development, we've got the Visitors Council, we've got Downtown Development. I don't know what the city has specifically because I just don't keep up with it. How do you work with such a diverse team like that when you're only one person with seven member council?
Well, that's a great question.
That's what I try to do.
I love it. I love the challenging questions. I would, on the city council, I want to be a team player, but I'm not going to vote something in that I don't believe in at the same time. I would definitely try to use facts and logic and my communication with the rest of the city council team that I'll be on to try to get my point across and hopefully build some value into what I'm explaining to them. And I hope that they can see the value in it. And I would present it to them purely value-based with stats and statistics.
Do I understand correctly then that what you're saying about a team would be the council plus these city and county organizations that are here to bring commerce and growth to the area?
Yeah, and I think it goes even deeper than that, really. I think it, like I said, we're public servants. I think that we should be listening to the people of Rollins first and taking into account what they think. How is it affecting them? How is it affecting their costs? How is it affecting their households? Because, I mean, we're all the backbone of Rollins. So they're definitely a part of the team.
Right. My next challenging question.
Yeah.
This is not challenging to be mean or anything. I'm just asking dumb questions. I don't know anything, and I don't know anything until I ask the dumb questions, and then I'm a little smarter. But we've had a problem here, and Patrick can address this later too. Since I've been here 10 years, there have been a lot of things that the city and the city council do that, particularly in the previous administration, that were decided before it ever came to the city council on a public meeting. Do you see a way that you can work through this business of not the good old boys club, but the rational thing that you have a bunch of people, you have seven people on the council in a forum get together, they decide what to do, and the other three have absolutely no position, no voice to speak about. So is that something that you feel that you will anticipate, and or shouldn't you not anticipate it? What do you think about that?
So one of my ideas that, and I, at the end of this, let me know if I'm answering your question. Mm-hmm. One of my ideas is to have more open communication, whether that be an online forum with the community and talk about ideas that we will be bringing to the city council before they even get there. I think that it's important to have the city's input, not the city council, the people of Rawlins. I think it's important to have their input on a decision before the decision is even made. And
well, that's, and I'm going to interrupt you.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
I apologize. And that because that leads into the other question that I had at this initial introduction is if we have things that are going on in the background, we don't even know it until the decision's been made and the city council brings it to the public. How do the people have an input to even understand that there's something going on that we don't know about until it's already happened? And the other problem, which ties right into that, which is people of Rawlins are very clannish and they don't like to talk a whole lot about stuff in public because it might cause them a problem. So, and Facebook is not a resolution for that.
Right.
These are things that I see and have seen for the last decade, but I don't know what to do. I don't have an answer. What do you think?
I think just visiting. I think one of my things is I've been going to the people of Rawlins instead of having them have to come to me, just going out and saying like, hey, your voice is important, whether you are a big business leader or not, or whether you're just shopping in those businesses, those voices are what's important to me. And so not having something like, hey, come all meet me here, let me answer some questions, but how about I go out into the public and find somebody walking into a store and be like, hey, can I ask you a question?
That's obviously, that would be a welcomed change of heart, actually. And I wanted to add now, kind of to not piggyback on Henry's question, but what are your thoughts? There was a proposed bill, and I don't know how far it's gone from our state legislators, that would allow, in this particular case, a municipality, because right now the state of Wyoming, there is no way that you can remove an ineffective city council member unless you basically vote them out. So if you get somebody in and they're complicit and there's a vote of no confidence in that individual, we cannot remove them. What are your thoughts on being able to remove an ineffective member of council? Would you support something like that? Or, I mean, just kind of give me your thoughts.
Well, and so I don't know exactly what bill you're talking about, so I don't know that I can talk on specifics without just kind of talking.
Yeah, and I apologize.
No,
I apologize.
No, you're good.
Like I said, I'm just kind of going off the cuff.
Frederick, I'm sorry. What Patrick has mentioned, we've already been through this three or four years ago, and what the particular people that we were talking about in that sense said that, well, that's up to the state to decide. And then the state says that it's up to the city council to set the election, if we're going to have one, to do that or not to do that. That would be the election. Do we have a recall process or not? And an ethical standard or not? And the city council at that time in a body said, we're not going to do that. We don't want to ask you. So if you can't, if they have to give an election for us to have an option, and they're not willing to do that up front in public out of a city council meeting, what do we do there? Do you have any ideas, or do you just want to put that until we have another?
No, I think I can definitely talk on the concept. So I think that city council, all governing bodies, I think we are public servants. I think that the public has the right to voice their opinions on any and everything that we do, because that is what we are here for. So I think that if, hypothetically, if there was a city council member that was just ineffective and not doing anything, or maybe damaging and doing more damage than good. And maybe the majority of the public in that city was wanting them out. I think that they should have a right to say that. I think that they are what we are here for in the first place. So.
You know, and that was kind of going along with this as well. There was an issue with the city council. One council member had brought up the idea because it needed to update an ethics policy. And one council member had stated, well, we follow and adhere to state statute. And state statute, every time they'd bring up a particular statute, it had nothing to do with the issue that was being discussed. And on one occasion, a member of this council stated, and I think it was Henry, after you had essentially saying that we don't need ethics because ethics just gets in the way of us being able to do our job.
That's exactly a quotation
by one of our former city council member. And I mean, so what are your thoughts on issues like that? I mean, and this is kind of going along with this whole idea of there was one of the council members, even in a council meeting, said a vote of no confidence for this individual. But yet they were able to remain and there was a big outcry from the community. They wanted that individual gone.
Well, Patrick, this also, and it's, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
But this reflects on your prospects as a potential city council person. What we've just talked about here was a situation that was peculiar because we had four city council people that voted as a block. They knew what they were doing before they went in. They knew what they were going to do afterwards, and nobody could say anything about it because they had an absolute majority. They had a quorum and a majority regardless. So whatever anybody else had to say, if it wasn't relevant to what they wanted, it was okay. But if it was something to do with what they wanted to do, it was a block that you couldn't get through. And when you do that, that is not law, and that's not community, that's politics.
It's
within the small town politics are a reflection of the larger politics. So what do you do?
Well,
are you prepared to go head to head?
I am, actually. So one thing I do pride myself on is integrity. And a lot of my, and maybe not way, way in the past, in my early 20s, but since I've gotten into law enforcement, since I've gotten into the Recovery Act movement, which has been years and years now, I operate solely on ethics, boundaries, and integrity. And that's something you have to have for...
Well, I was going to say, in your profession, boundaries is a must.
And I am certified in multiple of them. So no. I've had plenty of training in it. But I also... We're kind of pioneering this program right now. It's called the Justice Involved Peer Specialist Program. And it's where we take inmates that have chosen themselves to live the right way, even though a lot of them are locked up for the rest of their lives. They are still in prison. They're in a harsh environment, and they still choose to stay sober. They choose to respect. They choose morality over anything else. And so Recover Wyoming, I don't know if you guys have heard of them, but they have been doing a lot of pioneer work for Wyoming. But me and another colleague have kind of, before I started, I think we had maybe 10 of them in all of Wyoming. Now we have upwards of 35 and more. We actually just got the Wyoming Honor Farm to want to do a program too. So and we're in the middle of writing policy for all of this. And it's taken a lot of backlash at times. There have been people that are very open to it, but so I'm very used to standing up for what I believe in and pushing for what needs to be done. So I'm not afraid, in other words.
That's good. Because we need council people that don't just sit there. We want people that are forward thinkers, people that want to move things forward. Now, we're at 5 minutes here. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to give you 5 minutes, or possibly I might cut you off before the five. But you give us the elevator pitch why we need to vote for Shallon Crenshaw for at-large Rollin City Council. So go.
Ooh, this is my first time doing this.
You need to practice. That's good.
Yeah. I really do believe that I will be a strong candidate. I believe that once I am in city council, I will make decisions based off of what the people of Rollins are really looking forward to seeing. I don't make promises. And that's one thing that I'm going to stick to unless I know for sure it's something I can do, because I'm not full of empty promises. And I believe that promises are sacred. And so the only thing I do promise is that I will research and I will work, and I will not give in at all unless it's something I end up changing my mind about, because I've given it thorough research. And I mean, yeah, I will stick up for the people. And I haven't lived here my entire life, but I do choose it to be home, and I do care about the people that live here. And I would not like to call myself a politician. I am really just a regular person that has already been trying to push things forward in this community and regionally in Wyoming. So I've already been doing work in that aspect. And I really do think that I can do it here too.
So. Awesome. Well, we're getting close to our bottom of the hour here. So we don't want to delay and keep Shallon here any longer than she wants to be here. But I do want to say I appreciate and thank you for coming in, talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
I think you bring some things that we've lacked in our city council people. I admire that. I respect that. And like I told you, I admire your positivity, and I think you have some good ideas. And you know, we want to wish you well in your candidacy.
Thank you very much.
We you know, and if you are elected, by all means, we'll certainly see if we can get some of you folks back on the air to see what's in store and what's going to happen. But people. Again, this is Shallon Crenshaw. She is running for at-large for Rollins City Council. If what ward are you in, by the way?
I'm in Ward 2.
Ward 2?
Yeah.
She's in Ward 2. So if you're in that particular ward and you like what you hear from Shallon, by all means, you know, cast your lot in her direction.
I have a question about that because I don't know. I thought I did, but I apparently do not. If you're running for at large, does it make any difference where the votes come from of the other?
You know what? I don't know that. I have no idea.
So I can actually answer that. So the whole city votes for at large.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, good answer.
Well, there you go.
I'm less dumb than I was.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so am I. I'm less stupid. But again, Shallon, I appreciate you coming in. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much.
And, like I said, and if you're elected, we'll see if we can get you back on here.
Perfect.
And
I would love to, as much communication as possible.
Awesome. All right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Again, Shallon Crenshaw, running for Rollins City Council at large from Ward 2. So good luck on your candidacy, and we hope to hear from you again. Thank you.
Henry's going to jump on that. I'm radio guy. There's my telephone number. We'd like to have you on the radio, and for any reason whatsoever, you're welcome to come back and pitch your situation again, or just come back and have a conversation.
Perfect.
We have two shows that you're welcome on.
I love it.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Our next
candidate is on out waiting out in the green room, and I will go get her, and we will continue on with this.
Thank you, Shane.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to meet you.
My privilege. Thank you.